It's live, expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Cast the hour, 11:06 a.m. Welcome back to the Elise Glink Show. We are live on Sundays, 11 to 1. But I have to warn you, next weekend, we don't even have a show because it's a race weekend. And then the weekend after that, we fall back, 12 to 2. So it is time for football, and football in Georgia means this show moves back to 12 to 2. You still get 2 hours. We're not going away. But it is more about what we have to accommodate in terms of football. So we will be on 12 to 2, not next weekend, because next weekend we've got Captain Herb here in the morning, in the afternoon. But after that, we move to afternoon. So I hope you'll move with us like we always do. We've been doing this for years here on News Talk WSB. And if you sign up for my free weekly newsletter at thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com, we'll announce it in there as well, just to remind you. That comes out usually on Mondays or Tuesdays, sometimes on Thursdays or Fridays. We mix it up a little bit. Depends what the week brings. But what you always get in the newsletter is absolutely amazing information. We will point you in the direction of all the new content on thinklink.com, and you won't want to miss it. You can always follow me on Twitter. I've been on there already this morning tweeting about today's topic. And if you're not following me, it's at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. I think you're missing half the conversation. So join up now. If you are listening at home, log in. If you are wandering about, do not look at your PDA while you're driving, please. Just listen to the show, and then later you can go back and see what we've done. At Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Phone number, lines are wide open, 404-872-0750, here at the station, 404-872-0750. I want to start today with just a shout-out of thanks to the FMLS and the Georgia Association of Realtors and the Atlanta Board to say thank you for having me at Showcase 2012. That was a lot of fun. We talked about how you actually can use inflection points in your life, things that happen to you that are dramatic. For many people in your careers, this whole recession that we've had, this great recession, this is an inflection point. Because my feeling is when you come back from this, when we all come back from this, and Georgia real estate is coming back, right, just like everywhere else, just maybe a little more slowly. When you come back, you're going to have to be a different kind of real estate agent. It's not going to be the same as it was before. Nothing is ever the same. And when you have an inflection point in your life, whatever that is, you're not the same afterwards, and the situation's not the same. So understanding that, I think, for real estate agents has been somewhat of a challenge. And that was what I was trying to point out in my talk, and was delighted to be there. And it was a very, very warm welcome. So my thanks go out to all of you who were there. And in that vein, I want to talk a little bit about team building this morning, because real estate agents, in my mind, are the top tier team member. You need a strong team. You need a strong team behind you in all areas of your life. If you're a real estate investor, there's a specific group of people that you need behind you. We'll talk about that in a moment. But if you're in business, a different kind of business, right? You know that you are only as good as your team, or maybe even as good as your weakest team member. If you've got, you volunteer at your church and you're doing an event and you've got all these volunteers behind you, you're only as good as all those volunteers are behind you. When you're growing up and you're in school, your support system are your friends. Right? And if they're really good friends, you're golden. And if they're not, they're not. And so we grow up, it's sports, same thing. You play on a team. How good is your team? Basketball, baseball, whatever. Team building is one of the most important things that we can do in all areas of our life. And the strategy that goes behind it. And I think about this with my own team, right, at ThinkLink. I have this most amazing group of talented, quirky, fun, brilliant women, and they are mostly all women, a couple of guys. But this group of people they're so strong, and they're in their 20s. Most of them are in their 20s. And as they've moved through their 20s with me, and they are growing, it is my job to kind of pull out of them and encourage them to find all of these amazing skills that they have, right? That's what being a team leader is all about. Well, when you're buying real estate, it's your job to put together an amazing team who's going to support you. Real estate agents are at the top, but it's just as important to have a really great mortgage lender. Incredibly important to have a mortgage lender who you can work with. It is so hard to get a loan for some people these days. But you also need a property inspector. You may need an attorney, especially if you're buying a foreclosure or a short sale. I always recommend one. And then, of course, an inspector. So all of these people, and if you're buying investment real estate, you want to add an accountant or tax preparer on top of that. All these people are part of your team. And understanding how to work with them, to get the most out of them, that's your job. You're the buyer. You're the team leader. It's your money. Now, if you've picked the right team members, they're all going to care about it just the way that you care about it, or nearly as close as you care about it. But you want people who are smarter than you in all of these different areas. That's how you build a great team. You know what? I don't do the best PowerPoints in my team. A woman named Claire does, and Allison helps her. You have to find people with strengths that you don't have. So your real estate agent should know much more about the neighborhood and the housing stock and what's going on than you do. Tax preparers should know all of the tax laws related to investing in real estate and how it's going to affect your bottom line. Mortgage lenders got to know how to get you a loan, even if you've got some blemishes, even if you've got some problems. They've got to know how to do it. You've got to put this team together, interview people. I was joking with some people this week. We were talking about building company advisory boards, right? In big companies now, one of the hot things is you get an advisory board together of your top customers, and they come together once a year, and they give you feedback. Why would they do that? Well, they want you to be a better vendor for them, right? So they want you to do a better job. But also, they want to have a say in where you're going. They want to change what's good for them as companies, and this may be a way for them to do it. Well, you think about your real estate advisory board the same way, right? These are people you are casting, almost like you would cast people in a movie. Is it going to be Brad Pitt or is it going to be George Clooney, right? So, you know, when you pick people, you're looking for chemistry with each other, with yourself. You're looking for smarts. You're looking for experience. It would never be okay for me to have you. I would never recommend that you use like Aunt Sally or Susie's best friend from church who you've met twice, who's done two housing sales, you know, two sales total in her career. I would never recommend you use somebody like that. Because I think it's tough, and I think you have to be smart, and you have to have experience. And you go with somebody who has tons and tons of experience. So you cast this group, this team, and they perform for you. And I know I'm couching it in business terms, but when you're buying investment real estate, that's what you're doing. It's a business. Treat it like a business. Take a step back, be more objective and less emotional, be more businesslike, you'll have better results every time. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, 1115, Jeffrey joins us on the line. Hey, Jeff. You there?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. What's going on?
I got a question about life insurance.
All right.
Unfortunately, my father passed away and my mother's applied for the benefits, but the insurance company denied it, saying that she's not specifically listed as a beneficiary, although they paid on it for 30 years together.
Okay, so who's listed as the beneficiary?
Well, I haven't seen it myself, but from what I've been told, it's just listed as the estate. At least that's what I understand so far.
Okay, and what does the will say?
The will lists her specifically as the only beneficiary of anything and everything that may be, available or left.
Okay, so maybe there's... So first of all, let me just say I'm sorry about your father passing.
Thank you.
Was it recent?
About six or eight weeks ago, yeah.
That's pretty darn recent.
Yeah.
That's like a blink of an eye recent. How's your mom coping?
It's been difficult for all of us. It was not unexpected, but it was difficult. He was a good father.
That's nice. It's nice that you can say that. Not everybody can. When you knew that the end was coming, did anybody pull together all the documents and take a look and see how anything had been done? Had there been any estate planning done? I mean, if you've got a will, there's some of it done, but this is a big miss, not naming her specifically on the life insurance policy. And because if it goes directly to the estate, that's one thing, but even there, sometimes it's not listed, and then you have to go to court, and the court decides how it's going to be parceled out.
Right. I think that's our next step, is we've acquired some paperwork from probate, but I guess the question is we'd like to try to handle this ourselves without getting lawyers involved and expense and all that, if possible. So the question is, what do we specifically ask the probate judge for?
So, first of all, I don't think you should be going and asking a probate judge things yourself, because I don't think you know the implications of that. I think you have to work with the life insurance company. Who's the executor of the estate? Your mother? Who's the named executor?
Well, see, that's another issue. Is she? I don't know that she's actually specifically named as executor, although she does. She did have power of attorney before passing.
Okay. So I would just say to you that there are some issues here. I don't know who created the will, but you need a good estate attorney, at least for a consultation.
Okay.
To go through the different issues, it's more complicated, and I'm not an estate attorney, so you know that because you listen to the show.
Right.
But you need guidance here, and a few hours with an estate attorney might provide you with all guidance that you need.
Okay.
And you don't necessarily, aren't going to necessarily be milked. But there are, you know, things get really complicated. I have a friend, a dear friend, who married a woman that he's known for 8 years, moved her in from another country, and 6 weeks later she announces she wants a divorce and is moving back to her native country. And she just wanted to get on a plane and go. Well, like, you can't, that can't happen. You're now legally married. There are issues involved, and you have to unwind them. So they were like, oh, we just want to file for divorce ourselves. It's non-contested. And I said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that it's not uncontested, right? There are certain legal things that you have to go through, and you don't know what to do. And so we hooked him up with an inexpensive attorney that we know and who does divorces. And it was too complicated even for her. She got a different friend in who does know how to do this, and they're going to go in front of a judge next week. And maybe they'll be immediately divorced, and maybe they won't. But there's nothing cookie-cutter about it. And because you already have two things, she's not named on the life insurance policy, and she's not even really named as executor in the will, you need somebody who really understands how this works before you start going in front of a judge and talking. That's just my two cents.
Okay. Well, let me ask you one last question, understanding
sure.
what you just said. Would we actually cause more problems if we filled out the probate information and just went before the judge ourselves?
You could. You absolutely could. That's my concern. Right?
Okay.
The idea is to get this thing, and it may be that you don't have to probate her estate, but you won't know that until you talk to somebody who really understands probate and really understands what your specifics are. Were she and your father joint tenants with rights of survivorship on their house?
Gosh, I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, that's a really important question, because if they are, she should have automatically inherited the house. If not, and he was the only one named on the deed, then you may have to go through probate and probate the house as well.
Wow.
So
okay.
I want you to take a step back and understand that this kind of stuff gets complicated, and if you muck it up, it's really complicated to unwind. And I don't want you to make any mistakes. So a couple of hours with an estate attorney, and you will quickly see what you can do yourself, and I'm all about doing stuff yourself, what you can do yourself, what you need guidance for, and what you need an attorney to help you with. Do you know an estate attorney?
I do not. That was my next question. Do you have a reference maybe on the website of someone?
So I don't have any references on the website, but let me tell you how to find a really good one.
Okay.
Go to the Atlanta Bar Association.
Uh-huh.
Ask the person who answers the phone to send you to the person who heads up the estate committee.
Okay.
Talk to that person. They'll know everybody. Tell them what's going on and ask for a couple of referrals. Call those attorneys, set up an appointment, and that's going to be how you have to do it. 404-872-0750. Jeff, let me know what goes on. I'm Elise Glang. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at ThinkGlink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter. I'm at Glink, so you don't miss half the conversation. And sign up for the free weekly newsletter at thinkglink.com. It's time for our Real Estate Insight segment sponsored by Duffy Realty of Atlanta. Rhonda Duffy, welcome back.
Thanks.
All right, here's the question of the week for me. What do you think is the number one mistake buyers make and the number one mistake sellers make?
Wow. Okay, number one buyer. Number one buyer mistake, they get in the car with an agent that they think they've known for a long time, or maybe they don't, and they think because the agent's driving them around Saturday after Saturday that the agent represents them. The agent only represents them if they've disclosed who they represent and the buyer has signed a statement in writing saying that they are being represented. Number one mistake sellers make, not managing their own listing. They secretly resent the fact that they're paying too much money to the listing agent, so they say, here's my house file, you take care of it. They never see themselves on the internet, don't even know what pictures are posted. That blows me away, shocks me.
You know, it's so funny, in the books that I've written, when I talk to first-time buyers, I say, this is going to be the single biggest purchase you ever make, don't mess it up. For sellers, hopefully, although this is not clearly the case right now, your property's appreciated in value, and it has for many people, and now you're going to sell this enormous asset, and they spend even less time thinking about it.
Right. You've got to manage your own process. And I think with tools like what's on RhondaDuffy.com, my blog, your blog, I think we're making consumers smarter about what is really supposed to be the largest purchase in their life. And that's not about monetary, it's about their judgment.
When you think about how you've helped people, how do you coach a seller into understanding that even though they're hiring somebody at, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6%, sometimes 7%, you know, they're hiring these people, that the expectation that they're just going to handle it and they don't have to be involved, how do you coach around that?
I think they need to look at the outcome as theirs. You know, they're paying an agent 6 or 7% of their property's value, not necessarily their profit. Okay? Every single dollar matters in that, and they need to make sure that they're getting the value for that. There's a lot of great agents out there. They just need to set their expectations with that person and make sure they're hiring somebody that they know is good.
All right. Check out Rhonda's blog at RhondaDuffy.com. Rhonda, we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks. See you then.
All right. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We're going to have more of your questions and my answers next on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at ThinkGlink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
It's 11:37 at News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. Thanks for listening today. The number 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. Online all the time. ThinkGlink.com or Twitter, where in 2 seconds as we were going to break, we had somebody tweet, wow, traveling Wilburys for bump music. Love it, and I'm learning a thing or two. So join me on Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. And stay on top of all the conversation that goes on during the show. On the air, online, all the time. All right, 37 minutes past the hour. I had a great visit in Atlanta this week. I was hanging out with Alan Hunt, who is not the Alan Hunt, who's our talk show host, but Alan Hunt, who is our engineer, senior supervising engineer. And he was asking me about his loan, and he has a VA loan that... long-time vet, and he wanted to refinance, but he couldn't get anybody to talk to him. And so what I'm hearing is that if you don't have the exact language, right, if you don't have the exact terminology, you're not going to be able to get anywhere with lenders these days. I don't know what it is. They've all gotten incredibly picky, really picky, about how you talk to them. It just is how it is. So I was talking to Alan, and I said, well, what do you want to do? And he said, well, our interest rate's at 6%. We'd really like to lower the interest rate. We have 18 years left on our loan. And I said, Alan, you know my four rules for a home run refinance, right? Number one, lower the interest rate. Number two, lower your payments. Number three, shorten your loan term. And number four, manage your closing costs. So I went on the VA site. We were at dinner at the Colonnade. For all of you who know, I'm just digressing all over the place. But I had fried chicken at the Colonnade, and I went to give the speech at Showcase. And the first person who came up to me said, "Oh, have you had fried chicken since you've been in Atlanta?" And I said, "Yes, I went to the Colonnade last night." So we're at the Colonnade, and I pull out my iPad, and I find the exact page on the VA site, which, by the way, they don't make all that easy for you to find. But for veterans, I found the exact page, and I handed it to, I emailed it to Alan and his lovely wife, Bunny, who's also a good friend of ours, and he told me by the next day he had been able to achieve a home run refinance, an Elise Glink home run refinance. He was able to lower his interest rate from 6% to about 3-something. He was able to lower his payments by $100 a month. He was able to go from the 18 years left on his loan to 15 years, and he was able to really manage and hold down on the closing costs. Home run refinance for my good friend Alan. I will tweet out the exact page on the Veterans Administration website where you want to go to start the process. There is a lot of places that you would end up, if you're not careful, that are not the government site. I need you to be on the government site, on this specific government page, and I'm going to tweet that out for you. All right, Mike is a veteran, and he wants to refi as well. On the phone with us now. Hey, Mike, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure. So what is your problem for a refinance?
So you knew I was calling about the VA loans.
I'm just psychic. That's okay. How it works. Crystal takes the calls and screens them, and then I just know what you're calling about.
There you go. The language you were just talking about, could you explain that just real quick, just in light moderation?
Right. So you're a veteran and you want to refinance. And if you want to refinance, you need to say you want a VA to VA streamlined refinance.
Okay.
If you were doing an FHA loan, you would want an FHA to FHA streamlined refinance. It's not even sometimes with FHA loans, they just lower the interest rate. And sometimes with VA loans, they can just lower the interest rate.
Okay.
But sometimes it's more than that. But you have another problem, don't you?
Oh, yes.
What is your problem?
What happened when I originally took my loan, mortgaged the home years ago, we refinanced probably about 9 years ago, and about 5 years into the deal, the company sold my loan to another company.
And it was a VA loan?
No, ma'am. I do not have a VA loan. That's what I'm trying to get into.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they sold, 2 years into that, they sold it to another company. So I refinanced it to get a two-year ARM. Big mistake to get my interest rate down, and of course after that everything went wrong. Life problems, things happen. Why I can't work anymore? Just you know, this, that, and the other.
I'm so sorry.
Now they've sold my company to a company overseas, who are Indian or Pakistani. You can't.
Why? How do you know that?
Because when I try to contact them, that's who they are. They tell me that's where they are. They're all.
Well, even all the American loan companies have outsourced some, if not all, of their call center activity to places in India and Asia.
Yeah, and I understand that. In this company, they will not let you speak to anyone in the United States.
Okay.
If you ask and request to speak to someone in the United States, they don't have any offices there. They don't have anybody available. But the mail comes from West Palm Beach, Florida. So.
Wow, that's amazing how that happens.
Of course. But my questions are, I'm trying to get out from under, and my credit score, just going online to Credit Karma, is 591. They have a trans risk score there of that, but then they have two categories.
Mike, let me stop you for a moment and say that I don't really care what your Credit Karma score is, and no lender does either.
Okay.
So the only score that matters is your FICO score.
Okay.
And the only place you can get it, you can't get it for free anywhere, but you can go to annualcreditreport.com.
Okay, if you've already pulled your credit report within a year.
You get it from each of the three credit reporting bureaus. Have you pulled three?
I pulled all three about 9 months ago.
Okay, so then you can just go to either any of the credit reporting bureaus and do it, or you can go to myfico.com.
Okay.
And you can pull your credit history and credit score from them.
Okay.
And even that score is not exactly the score they're going to look at. They're going to look at a FICO home score is basically what they're going to look at. But that's as close as you're going to get.
Okay.
And that credit score could be 591, just like Credit Karma, or it could be 620, or it could be 70, or I don't really know what it's going to be.
Right.
The big issue for you is that you're not even at 600.
Correct. I'm close, but by that score, I'm not at 600. And the question
they want to see
is,
you at 620 at a minimum.
Because I spoke to a lender and that promotes on WSB, and they said 620 for a VA loan, and they wanted money up front to even start the process.
Because they don't think you're going to actually be able to do it.
Right. Okay. So 620 minimum.
620 minimum, but you should talk to a variety of lenders. As I say on the show all the time, you have to shop around because...
Of course, and that's what I was beginning that process.
Right. But the real issue is, why is your score... How recent was the stuff that happened on your score, on your credit history, so that your score is this low right now? And how quickly do you think that you can right that ship and start going up? Because
I'm working on it now, trying to get some things resolved off of it.
Okay.
Why it's come up from like a 560 to a 591 in the past 3 months.
Okay, well, that's really helpful. If you can get it up to a 620 or 650, that's going to be even more helpful. You've got a two-year ARM. The interest rate's got to be really low.
Oh, it's already ballooned. When I went to try and, before they sold my loan to this company overseas, I was trying to get that into a traditional fixed loan. And we received a letter that, by the way, we're selling your loan right at the two-year ARM period where it's expiring. So now I've got a 9.5 interest rate.
So your two-year was like a fake introductory rate.
Exact. There you go.
I'm so sorry.
And we're just stuck.
You are really stuck because...
The payment went from 385 to 690 now.
Yeah.
And
are you having trouble making that payment?
Hard.
Are you having trouble making that payment?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're making it, but it's very, very hard. And I've tried to speak with the lender about the harm and everything else, the government programs, and they don't want to talk because all they're interested in is taking people's houses.
Well, lenders are not really interested in taking people's houses. They have too many as it is right now.
Well, but I have to disagree with this one because they're the worst on the rip-off. They are foreclosing left and right. They have spoken to other people who have the same company by big problems.
Okay,
and they don't want to work with anybody.
Okay, let's just stop for a moment. Let me tell you some things that you can do. If this lender won't talk to you, they have to be licensed to do business in the state of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
You can call the Georgia Department of Banking and Finance, and you can talk to the ombudsman, and you can say, I am not getting any help here.
Okay.
I need some help, and I can't talk to anybody who speaks English properly. And
exactly.
They're not. You can say this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, lenders are allowed to sell your loan.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they do. But you have to manage the situation as best that you can, and I think you're getting, I can feel it, very upset. And I understand why. You're stuck, and you're angry, and you're running out of money. So I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. But getting, you know, yelling at people won't help your cause, because they're so much less likely to help you.
Oh,
so
yeah.
There are things, and you may, there may not be help for you with this type of loan. This is not a conforming loan in any way, shape, or form. You went down this path trying to get a deal, and it's just absolutely not worked out. So,
right.
So what you have to do is see if there is some place that you can get some help. Lenders do not traditionally want to do loans under 620. If you don't have a credit score of at least 620, they just don't want to do it. Even though Fannie and Freddie and FHA say they'll do it,
right?
Lenders have to be the ones to take the risk, because now Fannie and Freddie and FHA and VA are all making the lenders eat their mistakes.
Exactly.
So, you know, they're not going to go and do it if they feel like there's not a good chance you're actually going to make it work. So you have to do what you can do, and then the rest you're just going to have to figure out how to scrape by until you get that credit score up higher,
mm-hmm.
or you're earning some more money,
mm-hmm.
and you get into a place where it's more stable for you.
Yeah, and that's what we've been trying to do, and slowly getting there. I just didn't know because I know the banks are the ones that actually, the mortgage companies are the ones that actually have to fund the loan, so it's their criteria you have to meet, not what VA says
correct.
Or FHA.
Correct. You understand that. That's absolutely correct. So unless you find a really good mortgage broker who specializes in loans, you know, with credit scores like yours, which you should look for, or you can get somebody local to take an interest and help you out some way.
And where's the best place to try to find and shop and find these mortgage brokers that can get work?
I would call your real estate agent or a bunch of real estate agents and ask for recommendations.
Okay. Local agents.
I would absolutely call the local agents and see. They're the ones who work with them every single day.
Okay.
And
that's why I call, because I need guidance. We're working hard at it. We're getting closer
But be sure to open your mind and listen, because...
Oh, we have.
Good.
Anyway, that's why I've been listening to you, and that's why I called you.
I'm so glad you did. Let me know what happens, okay?
Thank you very much, and have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too, Mike. Oh, my heart is breaking for Mike. What a really tough, tough road. It is so incredibly hard right now. I talked about this earlier. If you don't have perfect credit, or even 620, which is nowhere near perfect, but to be under 600 trying to get a loan is one of the most difficult things that you can be doing. And my heart just breaks for Mike and his wife, who have obviously had such hardship over the last few years, made some choices, probably not the best now in hindsight, doing what they can to survive week in and week out, trying to make a move in the right direction. So I give them a lot of credit for that. But man, it's really tough. It's 11:50. I'm Elise Glink, 404-872-0750. Be back in a moment on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at ThinkGlink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
55 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB, 404-872-0750. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter. I've just tweeted out the IRRL Facts for Veterans for Refinancing. Just tweeted out that URL on @Glink, @GLINK. Bob joins us on the line now from Cartersville. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm having a good Sunday. What's on your mind?
What it is I am looking to buy a second home down in Florida.
Okay.
And I thought I had a real estate agent down there, but she turned out to be a nightmare. And
shockingly, okay, that's too bad.
But anyways, when I went back into a house that she had shown me before, that was a short sale. So I contacted the original listing agent on it, and he was saying I could make a. He thought I should make a backup offer for a short sale. And I have not dealt with this real estate agent before, and the three that I've dealt with so far in Florida have all been real problems. So
are you trying to do this all by phone instead of in person?
No. I went down in person.
Right? And you can't find a decent agent down in Florida? Really?
Well, let's see. The one I went to that I'm dealing with now, she showed us the house and everything else and a couple more, and it sold. It had been on the market about 6 months, and then we were at lunch going to make an offer. She called back and said, hey, they just had an offer on it this morning. Why don't you make an offer? You need to come in probably higher than their asking price. And I'm like, I'm not getting in a bidding
war. All right. Hold on, Bob. We're going to run right out of time here. So
Okay. Let
me give you some advice.
First of all,
I don't think that you should be making an offer on a short sale unrepresented, because it just means you have zero representation in the deal. I think if you can't find a good agent, you should find a good attorney and have the attorney put the deal together for you, because the agents get paid by the lender. You know, they'll get a flat fee usually that they have to share. And if you're just not finding quality agents, that's a whole other discussion we need to have, because I know there are great agents in Florida, and for whatever reason, you're just not running into them. So there must be a problem with how you're interviewing agents. And like I said, the music's playing, so I don't have time to talk about that. What you should do, find an attorney who can help you put together an offer that protects you. With short sales, there's all kinds of minefields out there. And if you aren't watching, you could really get smacked on the other side after you close. So get an attorney, get the deal done, and the next time call back, we'll talk about finding a great agent. It's 11:58. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We got a whole other hour on News Talk WSB.
It's live, expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Lace Glink is on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
It's 12:06 p.m. on News Talk WSB. In a couple of weeks, this is when our show is going to be starting. 12-2 coming up for football season, as always. The number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online all the time. My website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter. We're going to be having big changes come to the thinklink.com website over the next few months. It's going to be very exciting. There are going to be all kinds of new features, tons more video. We're just going to remake, I think, the whole experience there. So tune in, stay involved, send us your suggestions. Always happy to hear them. You can always find me online, Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. And, you know, I have a Facebook fan page as well. The Elise Glink fan page and just Elise Glink at Facebook. Don't forget to check out the Equifax Finance blog. This week, I hope, we're going to be starting a really cool contest there. We're going to ask you to upload a video about that sort of tells us your best family money managing experiences. How do you manage your family's money? Because family money matters. We've got this whole category on the site now that just talks about family money and what you can do to manage it better. Great suggestions, great suggestions. You should go there to blog.equifax.com or just go to equifax.com and click on where it says finance blog. But to support the family money category, and because we think that our site visitors and you have so many great suggestions, we're asking you to just upload a quick video. You can shoot it on your phone. You can shoot it on a flip cam. If you've got high-def equipment, sure, haul it out and do something fancy. But there are no points for production value. So we're going to announce it this week. Stay tuned to the Equifax finance blog for details and the actual launch. I believe it's going to be this week. Also, we will be sending out a special announcement on our newsletter at thinklink.com. So make sure you're signed up for that today if possible, or tomorrow at the very latest, so that when we push it out, you'll be able to see exactly what you need to do to enter. And the prize is a $1,000 Discover gift card, fully loaded. We're going to send it to you. If you win, there's going to be rounds of voting. You're going to get people to come and take a look at your videos. We're going to show off to the world your great advice, and then whoever wins is going to get a $1,000 gift card, which is really cool. So Equifax finance blog, online to my site at thinklink.com. Follow me on Twitter. You will get all the news on how to enter and what you can do to enter and win this contest. 404-872-0750. By the way, it's free to enter. I did tell you that, right? All right, let's go back to the phones. Megan joins us on the line from Suwannee. Hi, Megan.
Hey there. I am calling because this month my husband and I sold our condo, and we were thinking that we'd like to rent for a year and kind of look around and do the home shopping that way. And I was wondering, we've kind of outgrown our car with the birth of our child and kind of thinking about doing a car loan. I was wondering how much time we should put between a car loan and applying for a mortgage, and any other advice you might have for this year preparing for the...
So let me congratulate you on doing a bunch of things right. First of all, you're thinking first and acting second. What could be better? I'm so proud of you. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
So you sold your condo. Now you're going to rent, which is great because you were able to sell without having to worry about timing the buy and the sell together.
Mm-hmm.
I did that. Sam and I, when we sold our first place, we moved into a rental for about 6 or 8 months before we were able to close in the new place. We hadn't even found the new place yet. We were just like, time out. We've seen 100 houses. None of them are interesting. Mm-hmm. We're just going to sell, take this offer. It's the right offer. Move into a rental. We felt so much better. I mean, packing and unpacking twice, not so much fun. And
right.
You got a baby, so really not that much fun. But it's a whole lot better than trying to manage this back and forth thing. So that's mm-hmm. great. Now, about the car loan. You know, if you buy in a year, that car loan should be a third or a fifth paid off.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens, the way lenders look at this is they say, what is your available income, right? So after your taxes, you've got your take-home pay. What percentage of that take-home pay is already allocated towards total debt? So they want to see no more than 36% of your gross monthly income, which translates into almost 50% of your take-home pay, for mortgage, taxes, insurance, right? Mortgage, taxes, and insurance. So whatever's left, up to 36%, is what you can allocate to things like school loans or credit card debt or, in your case, a car loan.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is you'd want to keep your payment really low, really manageable. So if you could have a $200 a month payment, it's a whole lot better than a $500 a month payment.
Gotcha.
So just because otherwise it just eats into it. Now, in my book, 100 Questions Every First-Time Homebuyer Should Ask, third edition, which you can buy online on Amazon for like $9, and I suggest you get it, even though you've already had a house. Lots of stuff is different. But in there, what's useful is I have a worksheet that shows you how lenders think about all of your expenses. And you can fill it in so that you understand exactly how much room you have left.
Okay.
All right? And I think, again, congratulations on being smart enough to ask this question before you go out and buy a car.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Appreciate the call, Megan. Have a great Sunday. 12 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Let's continue on with the calls. Thomas joins us on the line. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, how are you doing, Leif?
I'm good. So what's going on today?
Thank you so much for taking my call. My question is, I'm trying to refinance, and my loan now is currently backed by Freddie Mac. And we're just wanting to take advantage of the lower interest rates, because right now it's just taking everything that we have to make our mortgage. We haven't been really over 30 days late, but it's just at the max that we can.
What happened? Because when you applied for that loan, I'm sure you were not in this situation.
Correct. We, my wife was working a little more then, and we've had a son. We've had a son since then, and she's now back working part-time, so that does help out.
Okay.
But my question is, you know, we've tried to refinance. My credit score is like 772. Hers is 780. And the problem that we're having is the home values in our area, and what we actually owe on the loan is too greater.
Okay. So what you're under? Are you underwater? Your house is worth less?
Yes, ma'am.
How much less?
I want to say almost. I want to say it's like $50,000.
That's a lot.
Yes.
So the thing that you would maybe qualify for, you've not been 30 days late, right?
No, ma'am.
Or you have been?
As far as I know, we've never been over 30 days late.
Okay, but you're paying late.
I think we've paid, you know.
The reason I'm splicing hairs here
yeah.
is not to put you on the spot and make you uncomfortable. I'm trying to understand, because the HARP program, the Home Affordable Refinance Program, you can't be late on your loan in the past 12 months.
Okay, well, I know we haven't been, like, over 30 days late, but we've, like, if it's due on the 1st and you got the till the 17th, we might make it till the 17th.
Okay, so that's technically not late. That's your grace period.
Okay. Then no, we haven't been late.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. So when you go to talk to the lenders, don't tell them you've been late. I mean, they're going to pull and see, but you don't even want them thinking you weren't waiting until the last moment to pay this.
Okay.
Now, set that aside a moment. And with the HARP refinance, you do not have to go to your own lender. You can shop around. Any lender can help you. They will all have different fees associated with it and different interest rates.
Okay.
So I would start calling the big lenders, right?
Okay.
Chase, Citi, SunTrust, Bank of America, you know, all these different lenders, and I would see who wants to work with you.
Okay, just see what their fees are. And
absolutely. It's backed by Freddie Mac, which is exactly what you need. All you want to do is a HARP refinance. They're all going to have different interest rates. And remember, you're not going to get 3%.
Okay.
What is your interest rate now?
6.
Okay. You will get somewhere around 4-4.5%.
Okay.
But that'll still help you a little bit.
Yes, ma'am. I heard that you said something like asking like a FHA to FHA streamline, or, you know, the way you ask for things.
Right, but you don't have an FHA.
Okay.
Because you have a Freddie Mac loan.
Okay.
So HARP is only for Fannie and Freddie.
Okay.
And I'm sure you've already asked your own lender to work with you, right?
Yeah, it's been sold, and these people don't even do refinances.
Okay, they just don't want your business. But a lot of other loans, lenders will do a HARP refinance. So what you need to ask for is a HARP refinance. Home Affordable Refinance Program.
Okay.
You need to go to Making Home Affordable.
Okay.
.gov, right?
Got it.
MakingHomeAffordable.gov. Look up HARP Refinance. Make sure you qualify. Like, you had to have gotten this loan before June 1st of 2009, I think.
Yeah, I've looked at, you know, some of the qualifications and everything. We fit everything in there. The problem that they're having is that the people that I've talked to is, like you said earlier, the banks, even though they say that they can do it, or that, you know, the government says that they can do this loan, doesn't mean that the lenders will do it.
Exactly.
Because, you know, if you're 150%, you know, loan-to-value ratio, they don't have to do it.
Correct. They don't have to. Nobody's holding a gun to any lender's head and saying, you must do this. It's all voluntary. What they've tried to do is put the incentives on the right place so that they will do it.
Right.
Because this helps lenders, too. Earlier we had a call from Mike, and he's like, they just want to take my house. I got to tell you, lenders don't want to take your house.
Right, right.
They have to turn around and sell your house. And they just don't want to do that. It makes them look really bad to their regulators, and it makes them look really bad to the American public. And it does not at all. We're at the lowest point of trust with our financial institutions in this country right now. I think it's like the new study came out, it was like 21 or 23% of us have trust in our financial institutions. Mm. That is no way for us to get this economy back going. This is just going to keep us stuck. And so lenders know this. I mean, they spend millions of dollars assessing people's and their customers' moods every single year and what they can do to make it better. They don't want to keep taking houses. So what I would love to see you do is start shopping around, make a bunch of phone calls over the next couple of days, and just say, I would like to see if we qualify for a HARP refinance.
Yeah, I would love to keep doing that. And it just seems that, you know, we got an appraisal, so we know what the house is worth.
Right. The appraisal is irrelevant.
That's what
actually
I was thinking. That's
with a HARP refinance, they won't pull an appraisal, and you shouldn't tell them you've had an appraisal pulled.
Okay.
Sometimes people talk too much, right? You just all you want to say is, I think I qualify. I'd like to do a HARP refinance. How do we get this process started?
Okay. The way I'm looking at it now, I see what it appraises for, and I see how much we owe on it, and then I'm like, this isn't a good business deal.
Well, do you want to have a different conversation? Because we could have a conversation right now about strategic default and you leaving your house.
Well, I signed this contract saying I would do it, so I want to, you know, do it.
You signed a contract saying what was the contract that you signed?
I mean, you know, the mortgage contract.
You signed a mortgage. Have you ever read that mortgage?
No, all I did is sign it.
So then you don't actually know what that contract says. I'll tell you what it says. It says, I agree to make these payments, and if I don't, you can have my house. That is the agreement you actually signed.
Okay.
It's a business transaction. They're not taking your firstborn. Right?
Right.
So you should read your mortgage. Everybody listening should be reading their mortgages. I think it would be really enlightening to understand what they're trying to tell you. So if you are so far underwater that you don't think you're ever, ever going to get out, then maybe you should think about strategic default and what that will do for you. Yeah, your credit's not going to be 772 and 780 anymore.
Well, what do...
it's going to be lower, but you're not going to be, you know, you're going to walk away from this property and you can draw a line in the sand and start over again.
Yeah, I'd like to. I love my house. It's just that the home values in the area have just plummeted.
Yeah.
And, if I follow this loan through the end, it's going to be, I'll pay $300,000 for a house that you're telling me is worth in the 60s.
Well, I'm not telling you that. You're telling you
that.
Well,
I mean, not your, but I'm just, what would be happening.
Yeah.
So
is that a good business decision?
Absolutely not.
So now you have to think about some other move. But if you're going to go down that route, you and your wife have to be on the same page, and you have to think it through carefully and understand what the larger implications are going to be. And maybe you have to buy a new house first, and then you let this one go into default. Or maybe you let this go into default, and you go rent for a few years until you're rehabilitated as a buyer, and then you do something else. But you're talking about your financial future, Thomas, and that of your wife and your baby. And you are the only people, you and your wife, are the only people who can make a decision about what you want your financial future to look like and what is the path that you are going to take to get there. You're the only one. Nobody else can do it for you. I can't. 404-872-0750 is our number. It's 21 minutes past the hour. Prize pack coming up next. Stay tuned to News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at ThinkGlink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
26 minutes past the hour on the Elise Kling Show. It's time for the WSB McDonald's Weekend Prize Pack. The value, $156. It includes a pair of tickets to Theater of the Stars presentation of The King and I, September 5th through the 11th at the Fox Theater, and a Kroger $50 gift card so you can make something yummy for dinner and then head off to the theater. We are going to give that away to the fifth caller to our prize pack line, 404-741-0750. That's the right number to go. Be nice to Crystal. She's going to be taking your calls. 404-741-0750. It's 27 minutes past the hour. When we come back, we're going to have a discussion. More of your calls, I should say, more of your questions, some of my answers, maybe even more of my answers. Be sure to follow along on Twitter, where we're having an active conversation on why Bob can't find a real estate agent in Florida who works for him. I know they're out there, a really good one, but why that isn't possible. And 404-872-0750 is our number for your questions. 27 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Kling. Stay tuned. Be back in a moment with more on News Talk WSB.
Expert advice anytime at ThinkGlink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
It's 1235 News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Kling. Thanks for joining me today. Number 404-872-0750 online all the time. The website ThinkGlink.com. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter. We've had some tweets going out for a new Wells Fargo Homeownership Preservation Workshop that's going to be happening September 19th to the 20th, I think. There's some question about whether it's the 19th to the 20th or 20th to the 21st. But anyway, around then, there's going to be a big one. So if you are a Wells Fargo mortgage customer and you're struggling with payments, you can get help. And you can call 800-805-4067 or just go to Twitter and follow me because there's a lot of information that's actually been posted today on that. 36 minutes past the hour. Congratulations to Martha, who has won the prize pack. Good for you. Let's go back to the phones. Sherry joins us on the line from Dawsonville. Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
So it sounds like you're in quite a struggle right now.
Yes. My husband and I don't know which road to take.
Well, let's start talking about it. What's going on?
Well, my husband's job was transferred to Georgia in 2006 from Florida. Florida market was not very amenable to selling our home. We were pretty aggressive. It was actually featured on Trulia at the time. It was kind of upcoming, independent, saying this home is being offered well below market value. It wasn't selling. So we had to get here for his job. We decided, well, let's tenant occupy it, ride the real estate market, and we all know what happened. We got a second dip, and Florida, the sand states, were hurt even more than other states. So anyway, we received a call end of last May. And
the property still has a tenant in it, right?
No. No, not after what I'm about to tell you.
All right, so tell me what happened.
End of last May, we did have a tenant in there at the time. End of last May, we got a call from our neighbor of 12 years, and we've owned the home for 18 years now. And he said, hey, have you all heard? And two streets over from that home, every single person has cancer.
Oh, my God.
Some people have three primary cancers. There's three brain cancers, 14 dogs, six cats have all died of cancer.
Wow. This is like Erin Brockovich.
Oh, she was down. She came down. You can Google it. You can Google the city and Erin Brockovich, and she came down on her own dime. But anyway, it's been a big, big, big education. I couldn't expect for the tenants to stay. They had children. So certainly let them out of their lease. No questions asked. Just out of human decency.
Right.
But there you are with a financial dilemma. I just went down last month because the Department of Environmental Protection had done a 14-month study. They found toxic chemicals in well water. Some people go, oh, well, they put you on city water and all is fine. not the case because there's soil contamination. And as you water from your well, the insects take in this chemical, and then it goes into the topsoil. And the topsoil situation is this. Anything above the number 10, children shouldn't play in. Two houses from ours, the number is 18,000.
18,000 and ten is where your kids shouldn't be playing in the dirt.
Oh, and actually, it was very interesting. The DEP wants to, they don't want mass hysteria, which I can respect.
How many people, is this a community?
450 homes. We're the 16th community in Florida suffering this, and we're the smallest at 450 homes.
So do they know how this got contaminated?
Yes.
How?
Yes, and people can feel sorry for us, but Atlanta, this chemical is used all over the United States.
What is the chemical, and how did it get in the soil?
Good question. It was dieldrin, D-I-E-L-D-R-I-N. And it seems when they mix chlorine with pesticides, they become persistent in the soil. And this dieldrin, I've read, and I have all this. Anything I say is documentable. And I can have it. Five times the carcinogen of DDT. This chemical was banned in the 80s. We bought the home in 94. They found contamination.
So how did it get in? Is this from the builder?
Yes. Well, yeah, and here's the thing.
Is it from a company downstream? Like, it's hard for me to understand, like, how this actually got. Do they even know where it came from?
Yes.
They do.
It had a few uses, and it was actually called the good stuff. You know, no matter how many lives have been destroyed, you know, in my immediate world, and so it affects me. It's used on golf courses. I mean, how in the world do you have golf courses with only one blade of grass and no weeds? It's accomplished through chemicals. It was also used on slab homes to treat for termites. Well, we don't want termites. We can't have our homes eat our, you know, can't have termites eat our homes. So these chemicals are here to stay. They're not using the ones that have been mixed with chlorine, because they know, you think of chlorine, you get it on your hands, you can't get it off. Ugh, it's slimy.
I'm thinking like jumping in the pool that has chlorine.
Well, I can stand in my kitchen in Florida and look around my house, and there's seven people with MS. If you look on the MS website, the national incident of MS is 7 per 100,000. Not 7 twirl around in your kitchen.
7 under 7.
The DEP, my neighbor, went up to the gentleman. She has two young children, and their water was 7 times the human safe level.
So let me just stop you.
And now they're,
Sherry,
cheerleader, both in college, and she went up to the head of the central division for the DEP. She said, "If this was your home, what would you do?"
And
he said, "If it was my home, and I would recommend this to you, remove the top 2 foot of soil." Okay, great. Hazmat material. Okay, so you're going to kind of have people come in bubble
suits. Sherry, let me stop you and say that other than in the Aaron Brockovich movie, and I'm pretty sure I speak for everybody else listening to this broadcast, this is a horrific story.
Yes, this is
the worst story that I have heard since Aaron Brockovich, and I can't believe this hasn't become, if you are right about how many homes are affected in Florida, that this hasn't become a huge national discussion. I'm appalled at my fellow journalists for not picking this up and telling these stories. Now, maybe they have, and I haven't seen it, but I got to tell you, I scour the news every day looking for real estate stories. I follow this incredibly closely and have for 23 years. I can't believe I haven't heard a word about this. And so let me just say, my heart is breaking for you. And you should just dump this house, let it go, and never look back. Because you're not going to remove the top 2 feet of soil. It won't help. It won't help. You just know, because soil blows around, right?
Yes,
people till in their garden, and the kids dig in the sand, and it blows around. And so you could take off the 2 feet of your soil,
right?
And next year, half of your neighbors is going to blow back on it.
That's what one person. Well, what if you do it and your neighbor doesn't do it?
It is not possible. It is not possible. This whole development probably has to be completely torn down. bulldoze and let sit for 2,000 years. I don't know what you could do to clean this up, but you and your husband are not going to be able to do it. So whatever you want to do with this house, walking away is probably going to be the best solution for you.
Well, I appreciate it.
Just walk away.
We're in our 50s.
And hopefully, are you healthy?
I had cancer when I was younger. So we've been drinking water that goes through four different purification processes because my husband and I came to the determination, hey, your body's over 70% water, put something pure in it. So we are healthy. I believe we're healthy because, other than eating out and things like that, but most of the time, most of the water that comes into us is it's purified. So not just softener. And see, that's the thing. I think that there are filters. And guess what? Humans, we Americans, we want our grass to look a certain way, one blade. We can't
all
have
right,
all
Sherry,
of
we got it. Let's focus.
We have to learn how to live in concert with chemicals.
Sherry?
Yes.
Let's focus.
Yes.
What is your question for me? What you should do with this house? Because I've just told you what to do.
Here's the thing. We have, of course, we have a first, and we have a second.
You just walk away from both of them.
Okay. I sent them a package.
They signed, as I said earlier to Mike, who told me he didn't read his mortgage. If you read your mortgage, you know what it says.
I heard you.
You get the house if I don't make my payments.
That's right. There we go.
And you can walk away from this. There's no reason that you have to keep paying on this mortgage.
Okay.
I'm so sorry you weren't able to let this property go in 2006. But
then it would have been some other families, and that doesn't change what.
They're not calling me.
No.
You're calling me.
Yes.
You're the one who wants to know what to do with this property, and I'm saying it's going to definitely hurt your credit. And there may be some financial penalties, so I want you to speak with a real estate attorney who can understand what the situation is and represent your interests.
Okay.
There's probably some sort of class action lawsuit that's going to be brewing.
Yes, there is.
But you need to let this house go. Nobody is ever going to live in this house again.
No.
And you can't be left. Just let it go. I understand that you might feel like you have this need to pay for it because you signed your mortgage, but... And if you, God bless, want to do that, go ahead, pay off the mortgage. But nobody is ever going to live in this house again. You're not going to live there, and your tenants aren't going to live there, and nobody else is going to live there. This is a failed development. Failed. And the people who live there are paying the price with their lives.
Yeah, they are.
And thank God you and your husband have escaped that so far.
Yes.
And I am so sorry for what has happened to you.
Here's my question. I wouldn't be so so concerned if there was just a first, but from what I understand from the second mortgage company, they can come after you and garnish wages.
That's why you're going to have a lender who actually an attorney who understands how to deal with both of them.
Okay. All right.
You're going to do a strategic default, and you're going to talk to an attorney who's going to make sure that the right papers are signed and neither of these lenders are coming after you.
Oh, good. Okay. All right.
But
well,
you need a really smart attorney. You can't do this on your own.
Okay. No. No, I can't.
You need a real estate attorney with loads of experience negotiating these.
Do you know of anyone?
Unfortunately, I can't recommend somebody to you, but I will tell you, as I always do, how to find the right person. You need somebody, the property's in Florida. Ideally, you have an attorney in Florida. But since you live in Atlanta, start in Atlanta. And go to the Atlanta Bar Association and ask when they call up, ask the person who answers the phone for the phone number and name of the person who heads up the real estate committee.
Okay.
And call that person and say, I have a nightmare scenario and I need a real estate attorney to help me negotiate a strategic default. Or a deed in lieu of foreclosure, or whatever it is you're going to do. And I need some names of people who are very, very experienced. The property's in Florida. Do you think I need someone in Florida? And if you do, can you recommend me, how do I find a great attorney who can help me in Florida?
Oh, he's been great. Thank you so much.
Sherry, will you let me know what happens?
I am so
sad for you and your husband. But this is just a house. I'm really sad for all the neighbors who are stuck there.
The people who are ill. I've known them.
They're your family, right?
Yes. Oh, I can knock on any door, any time of day or night. They can knock at my house any time of day or night. We help. We've been through those storms through 2004. You know, one person got ice. One person got a generator first. We are a family.
I wish they had all called, and I would have said to them all, leave, because no matter what happens to your credit or your bank account or anything else with your financial future, there's no point in having money in the bank if you're dead. Right?
Yeah.
All you have is your life.
Yes, you're right.
And your health.
Yeah.
Nothing else matters. And I'm so horrified by what you've said. Really, I absolutely just feel like crying. I just can't understand how developers let this happen. And I will just assume that all the facts that you've said are true. They're documentable.
Yeah.
I'll go look it up.
Yeah.
But I just... When somebody is... this is a life or death situation, and you are sick or your neighbors are sick and there's something wrong and the EPA has come in and said there's something wrong, you don't stay and wonder what's going to happen next. You get out. You run as fast and as far as you can. You pack the house. You leave. That's just what you do. And Sherry, it's probably really lucky that you and your husband haven't lived there since 2006. Even if it's the biggest financial disaster of your life and it affects your credit for the next 5 years, whatever, you've got your health. And since you've already been through cancer once in your life, you know that that means more than anything. Let me know what happens, okay? 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Klink. Be back in a moment on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
55 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Klink. 404-872-0750 is our number. Don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter. We've got the Equifax Finance Blog Contest, I think, starting this week. You're going to want to be on top of it. Sign up for the my Twitter, @Klink, and get all the information. Jeff joins us on the line from Sharpsburg. Jeff, I just have a moment. How can I help you today?
I've got a 15-year mortgage that I have 3.3 years left on. And I have a line of credit due in December. It's about $18,000.
And have you been paying down the line of credit or not?
I'm sorry?
Is it a balloon line of credit? It's all coming due?
Yes.
Okay.
They will finance with me. I've already talked to them. But I guess my question is there's no way I should refinance my house.
Well, is that the question? That seems like a statement.
I mean, with 4 years left, less than 4 years?
Well... Do you have $18,000 in your pocket?
No, but
so how are you going to get? How are you going to pay for that?
I got you. I mean, they're saying they'll refinance
the
line of credit with me.
Yeah. Well, one thing you could do is you could refinance the line of credit and what you have left of 3.5 years, right, into a 10-year loan. Just keep paying at the amount that you're paying at. And get it all paid off in the next 3 years.
Okay.
Or 4 years. The other thing you can do is just refinance the 18, which hopefully they'll give you see, the problem is they may refinance your 18 at, like, say, 9% or 6%.
Right.
But if you refinance that plus what you have left, is it over $50,000 together?
No, it's like $42,000.
42 is what you have left plus the 18?
Right.
So one thing you might want to do is take out a home equity line of credit just for the 18 or a home equity line of credit for what you have left on the 15 years plus the 18 and just work to get it all paid off in the next 3.5 years.
Okay. So
I think if you put your mind to it, that's an extra $6,000 a year for the 18, not even. I think you can get that paid off in exactly the same amount of time as well. So those are going to be your best options. Refinance just the line of credit. Take out another line of credit, pay this off, and get a new one. Or take what you have in both loans, wrap it together, do a home equity line of credit, get that paid off in the next 3-4 years. Or redo it in a 10-year loan, but prepay at the same level and get it all paid off in 3 or 4 years. So your problem is you just don't have 18 grand in your pocket, but those are the ways to figure out how to get over that hump. All right, 58 minutes past the hour. The music's playing. That means I've got to run. But I'll be back next week. Thanks so much for listening. Not on Saturday. Sunday. I'm filling in for Clark on Labor Day. So I hope you'll join me then. In the meantime, see you online, everybody, and have a great week.